Hi, this is Eric Bordelais from Château de Hauteville in Charchigné, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode number 57.
Eric Bordelais in Charchigné from Château de Hauteville, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Going up. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am your Cider MC on this weekly podcast where we speak with cider makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week's guest is none other than Eric Bordelais from Normandy, France. There'll be more on that chat in a moment. Are you an online shopper? Well, Cider Chat is a member of the Amazon Affiliate Program, which means by entering Amazon via the Cider Chat resource page, any and all purchases that you make online at Amazon provides Cider Chat with a small kickback. Please take that extra 1 minute to think about Cider Chat next time you go online to make your Amazon purchase and help keep this chat thriving. Go to ciderchat.com/resource and click the Amazon link today. By far, one of my favorite things about doing this podcast is meeting everyone out in Ciderville, whether it's the actual guest on the chat or all the folks via the Twitter feed. If you want to follow me, you could do that at Cider Chat, or the people who keep on chiming in and helping to grow the Cider Chat Facebook page. And that just blows me out of the water. And then folks like David here, who is also a patron of Cider Chat, and he sent me this amazing letter with lots of photos, and I'm going to be posting these photos online at the Cider Chat Facebook page, so they'll be up for this week's chat with Eric Bordelais. But let me give you a little sense about what he's writing here. He's writing in reference to last week's episode with Chuck Shelton, and he writes, "I really enjoyed the chat with Chuck Shelton. I love the whole team at Albemarle Cider Works. It was their cider that got me into drinking cider and making cider too. I have lots of empty green 750 milliliter bottles from Albemarle Cider Works that I reuse and refill with my own cider. At one point in the chat, Chuck says something like, 'I don't know if I've influenced anyone.' And he is being crazy modest because he has influenced quite a few people in the Virginia cider scene." Yeah, that's what I hear, David. You know, a lot of people really love him. David continues on with that he learned to graft apples from one of their classes with Tom Burford, and I used that knowledge to help a friend graft an 80-tree orchard this spring of cider and culinary apples. Wow, that is a lot of work there, an 80-tree orchard. Just imagine that. A beautiful thing to do, but a lot of work. And he went on with saying all the different ciders that he loves from Albemarle Cider Works, like the Old Virginia Wine Sap and the Brut d'Albemarle and the Juniper's Legacy. And then he goes on with saying, okay, I love them all. Just cut to the chase. I love it. The guy's just a wonderful writer, and kind of goes on telling me a little bit more about the Virginia cider scene. And he also sent these photos, and one is of a press that he said, "I just finished all my hobbyist cider making apple pressing last weekend." And he has a photo of the press here and their whole fermenting scene. So that's going to go online at the Cider Chat Facebook page, and you'll get a little bit more info about what David wrote here. And he said that he had just recently, what he said was, bit the bullet and bought a whole bin of apples thanks to a friend's truck that he borrowed. Oh, boy. And they had to unload the apples from the bin to get them in the door of the small storage space that we used to make cider. I filled every container I could find with apples, boxes, buckets, plastic bins, and even a chest freezer. And there's a photo of it, and it's just bubbling out with apples. You can't beat the price, though, when you buy apples in bulk. It is a challenge to find great cider apples, so I work with what I can find. Some of the heritage culinary apples from Virginia, like the Winesap, Grimes, Golden, Albemarle, or Newtown Pippin. I mean, people use the same word for that apple. It's either Newtown Pippin or Albemarle. And Stamen all make a pretty good cider. Wow. So he also goes on with kind of asking some more things, and if I've run across anyone who is an expert on wood and barrel aging cider. So that gives me an idea, Ciderville. If you know someone who's an expert on wood and barrel aging cider, do send me a line, Rhea@CiderChat, just like David here, and maybe we'll hunt that down for a podcast. And he mentions that he found that he loves the flavor of oak, that what it adds to cider. I do agree with that, David. And also learned that there's other woods that you could use to flavor cider, like maple. And with the Spanish ciders in Asturias, they are aged in chestnut. Yep, that is correct. So he found one Asturian cider that he really liked, Mayador Limited. And having met both the two cousins that oversee the Mayador Cideria in Asturias, I know exactly what you are talking about. And David, thank you so much for both sending this email and being a continuing patron of the chat. If you'd like to join in with David, send me an email or send me something that you'd like to have posted on Facebook. Don't be shy. Just send that my way, Rhea@CiderChat.com. And one more thing before we get into this chat, I'd like to thank all the patrons of Cider Chat who have joined in helping this chat survive, and that is done via Cider Chat's Patreon page. You can find a link to that in the show notes to this episode, number 57, or at the CiderChat.com website. And welcome to Al, who just became a patron for Cider Chat. Every penny counts in Ciderville. Thank you so very much. Well, Ciderville, I think it's about time we get to this cider brand and the man behind the brand, Eric Bordelais. It was a beautiful sunny day that the nose and I finally met Eric. In fact, I had traveled specifically to France to meet Monsieur Bordelais this past September 2016. If you recall, I was on a trip overseas doing my work, and I had headed south, and I just so happened to be able to squeeze in a chat very happily with Agathe Letier, and that is episode number 49, and then Didier Bedu in episode 50. Agathe has Manoir d'April in Pendipi in France, and that is a Normandy cidery. And Didier Bedu is the president of EDACT, which is the appellation and control for Calvados, Pomus, and cider. I was getting my French on, so to speak, in preparation for meeting Eric. His cidery is not open to the public, and he does not freely grant interviews nor allow photographs of his home or work in progress. Therefore, there is a bit of mystique surrounding the man, Eric Bordelais. His spelling of cider as cidre, S-Y-D-R-E, or cidra, S-Y-D-R-A, and his self-titled role of being a pomologue and pourologue, as opposed to cider maker, adds to the intrigue. To stand out in a sea of cider suits Eric Bordelais, who is both the man behind the scenes and the brand itself. He learned from his dearly departed friend Didier Daganou that one must work towards high standards and distinguish yourself to gain the necessary accolades that will help cider be regarded in the same light as some of the finest wines in the world. Unlike most ciders on the market today, Eric Bordelais ciders can be cellared and aged. Take one sip of Cidre Argelette, made with 19 different apple varieties and usually aged for 4 years, and you will immediately taste greatness in a bottle. We begin this chat with Eric in the village of Bagnols de Laon, at lunch, at the hotel where the Nose and I were staying. I invite you to listen in on our conversation as Eric tells us the beginning of his journey with apples and pears.
You like the dessert?
Yeah.
It's a caramel ice cream with cream and a glass of cider.
Of course.
Okay. Salt and caramel and butter. So, of course, it's from Normandy.
Right.
It's the only things you have to take.
I don't know if they have in France, but in the U.S. they have these apples and they dip it into caramel.
Ah, oui,
it hurts your teeth. The crazy American thing.
I think I take wine by the glass, or do you want an aperitif, or up to you? Or the glass.
Is cider
by the glass?
By the glass, yes.
Up to you.
That would be normally what I would have.
A glass of cider?
Well, I'm in Normandy.
Deux verres de cidre, alors le meilleur.
Yes.
And I love a restaurant as well. I used to work in a restaurant for 12 years.
Cheers.
To cider.
To cider.
And grapes. Ça va. I have tasted pear all morning, different variety, and so my palate needs another fruit.
I was wondering, when you first started working in the restaurants and you were a sommelier?
No, I was started as a waiter.
As a waiter. In France, is there a certain certification that you need to become a sommelier, or you just build up from knowing, or you get
now,
trusted?
There is school and education to become sommelier, but at my time it was just a waitering school, and in a waitering school we was learning not too much time, too much hours, the wine, and not too much people didn't care, but I was very interested, and the teacher was very good, and I asked the teacher an address in Paris, and he showed me an address with a very nice wine list in Paris. Autre Gascon was Alain Dutournier. He became famous after, and a very interesting wine list. And I was learning with the chef sommelier the wine and tasting. Keep going tasting. And that's the only school for me. Taste, and to ask and visit winemakers. After four years as a commis, I was upset to see the maître d'hôtel or the sommelier to have more money than me. And the only difference, it was just the English, the language. Because if you want to get promoted, you have to learn English. In Paris, because many American people and different foreign people, so I said I have to go to learn English. So I have been in Scotland. I forgot my accent, but it's come back after a few beers and few pubs. But if you can understand the Scots people,
you can understand anything.
In the same time, I have learned skiing in Scotland, because there is a ski station, and in this big hotel many people from Commonwealth, so a different accent, so I catch different things, and it was very, very interesting. It was in 86, Chernobyl time. It was not so nice, but it was very, very interesting year and very funny year to learn. And after 6 months in the north, near Inverness, and after 6 months in Edinburgh. And in Edinburgh, we had I used to work with the sommelier was Johnny Walker, and it was his name.
I love
and
that.
Johnny Walker, he became champion of Grand Bretagne Championships as a good sommelier. And he used to be before sommelier, hooker, the tonnelier, we said in French, hooker, the guy who make the hook barrel.
Hooker.
He used to, before, in Johnny Walker company.
In the Johnny Walker Company?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It was not
destiny.
Johnny Walker, but
it is a destiny.
So this guy was teach me a lot, and he was a very interesting guy. So after Scotland, I came back in Paris to get promoted and to become maybe maître d'hôtel, I don't know. But I didn't think about sommelier. It's just because the chef, Alain Passard, became a big chef. But he started when I came back from Scotland, his own restaurant. So he couldn't pay a sommelier, a year old sommelier with the biggest salary. So
right.
He asked me to become a sommelier. So I said, super, I'm very, very, very interested to do it. And he said, but you're quite young and we will meet many journalists, so I think you are too young. Okay. So,
and
anyway.
How old were you then?
23.
So that is.
No,
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
I have
you
catch all the sommelier where I used to work. I have catch many things he was doing, was saying,
right.
Was taste.
Right.
So I think I. No, of course, I was too young and not too much brightest, but anyway, I came after the interview. He said, okay, you can come. And so I come 2 days after, and after 4 days, old guy, sommelier, came, and he was a sommelier. He became a sommelier, so I just become just a waiter in this place. I was upset, but when I was served the plates and the cuisine, I said, I have to stay here because he become a big chef one day.
Mm.
6 months after, the sommelier was too hard, too much work. The sommelier chef was going away. So I said, okay, it's my turn. And he said, now it's your turn. So that's like this. I become sommelier and I do my best. And after 5 years, it was one of the best wine lists in Paris.
That's right.
And I was okay. And the chef was become the best chef in Paris. Very, very not nouvelle cuisine, but personal cuisine. Always personal. Imagination, always personal. It's creation of when they was created the recipes. It was tried maybe 20, 40 times with the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was build up the recipes. So it was interesting for sommelier. He created the recipes because he tastes with bitter vegetables, sweet things, or different spice. Or exactly. So it was very, very interesting. Yeah. And not many chefs share the like this. So when I arrive and when I have to suggest the customer, even if it's a journalist, if he's very connoisseur, if he didn't taste the recipes, he has no chance to mix the good things. That's why it was a chance for me.
And
12 years at the restaurant and 5 years as a sommelier. During this five years, I have met many winemakers. This guy. Here.
Eric points his finger to the black t-shirt that he's wearing, which is imprinted with a photo of his friend and mentor, Didier Daganou. Didier is standing behind what one can suspect is Sauvignon Blanc grapevines. He has long brown flowing hair and a brown bushy beard, and he's smiling widely. On September 17, 2008, while Didier was flying his ultralight plane, it crashed and he perished. 8 years later, that memory still lingers for Eric. He'll speak more about Didier, but it should be noted that it was with Didier that he met Randall Graham of Bonny Doon Vineyard. Kindred spirits indeed, for Didier is known for a Sauvignon Blanc, Randall Graham is known as the Rhone Ranger. Each of these men have set off on their own task. For Didier, it was Sauvignon. For Randall, it is his work at Pampa Lachume to the east of Santa Cruz, California. And for Eric, it is the rebuilding of the Chateau de Hauteville and his passion for helping cider attain its status along with the likes of the finest wines in the world. The world is indeed a better place for such men, part whimsical rogues, technical geniuses, and knights for the glory of grapes and all things palm.
We were visit the first time Randall Graham with Didier and two other friends. When I've met Didier, Didier was new. Many winemaker because he used to travel a lot. Mm-hmm. And taste, merci. And so I have learned a lot with him. And from guy, very personal winemaker. He used to be famous at this time, like Denis Dubourdieu or like Chateau Yquem, but because he used to make Sauvignon and he wanted to become one of the best Sauvignon winemaker. But he become, I think, for me, but in a small area, a small terroir. I mean, not small, not so famous in Pouilly-Fumé. It's not so famous now, maybe, but... And he become quite very famous, and he was very... Like Alain Passard, the chef, he was very rigoureux. I don't know if you understand.
Regarded? Mm-hmm. Regarded. Well,
very care, very difficult, yes. With himself and with...
With other people, yes, right. Yeah.
But they are the result. The result was a great wine, great terroir, great everything. You want, yes. You want it to work very well in viticulture, very well in the cellar, and very well everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I said, I don't want to stay sommelier all my life because I know. It's interesting when you're young, but I don't know if it's interesting for all your mm-hmm. your life. So, mm-hmm. in a restaurant, I said, okay, I have asked to Alain Passard to become a cuisinier, to work in the cuisine.
Become
cuisinier, because I wanted to open my own restaurant.
Ah.
Yeah, I wanted to open my own restaurant. If you want to open your own restaurant, you have to be the chef.
Of course.
You have to be
to
ask for a chef, and if he go away, you don't know what to do. So I wanted
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
He never accept. And at this time, after 5 years, my parents get retired. My parents wanted to retire and said, "What do you want to do with the farm?" That's why we will visit this afternoon.
Yes.
And
wow.
I said, I don't want to do the farm like you do with the cow and everything, polyculture.
Right.
Well, I want to do, I had to find an idea to make, to continue the farm.
I see.
So I found the idea about they have apple tree, pear tree, so I do this. I do cider.
There already were apple trees and pear trees there?
Just a little, just for the family drink.
I see.
Not for commercial, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hobby, like amateur.
Mm-hmm.
Voilà.
Mm-hmm.
But for the cider, I started in 92. So first, after sommelier, I've been to wine school in Burgundy.
Okay, yeah.
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 It was very interesting. Very boring, but interesting. Because I don't like school too much.
Oh, wow.
Interesting, by the way, to get the chimic about what's happened about yeast, bacteria, and mm-hmm. all the chemical, comment on dit ça, la chimie, physique.
The chemical properties of all that.
Voilà,
yes.
C'est ça. Very interesting. And to know how to make wine and everything. And after I started in 92 with 200 bottles. No, I started in 90. With a 100 bottle, 91 another vintage, but I was stay work in a restaurant. Alain Passard was create a recipes just for my cider.
Oh.
I start 2 years amateur, but he created a recipes, and that when I saw the reaction of people, that remind me the cider when I used to be young. So,
right.
So that give me many ideas. I have tried with people, the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Voilà. I forgot this point.
It seems like all those pieces came together for you to just keep on. You're in a direction you don't know, but you're just, from your history,
voilà.
Just moving forward. Yeah.
So I start by the reverse way.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes, I do. It makes very good sense because you keep on increasing your palate and knowledge of the...
And what people need,
right.
What people expect about cider.
Right, right.
To do my own enquête, how we say enquête, I don't know. research about communication, what they expect about cider, and what packaging.
What is it about packaging that you learn from that? Just on what people are seeing, or from the presentation, you mean, or the in the restaurant itself?
Voilà. The problem with cider at this time, the packaging and the presentation of cider in a nice restaurant never happened at this time. It was not. It was just a cheap packaging about cider. Everything cheap, because people, Normandy people, are very comment dire radin, I don't know. They don't want to spend money to have a better bottle, everything, because they want to win money, but without to spend first. Voilà. That's why I have nice bottle and everything. I take care to everything. But at this time, even the spelling.
Yes. I was wondering how that gets received by the other.
It's the old French.
That's why
I found in old book.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's not Spanish, it's Old French, or even...
Cidra, yes. I had two challenges. One, to come in this, to have cider in those place, in the big gastronomy, and to live with this job. Because most of time it's amateur, like you say, and to prove to my parents I can live with this job. But they couldn't trust me, I can live with only cider.
Mm.
When I have met Henri Jaillet, he was quite famous winemaker in Burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, you know, at this one century ago, this vineyards, people didn't care because it was for the poor people. It was not for the rich, was staying for the cereals in a rich ground, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the vineyards place, it was for the poor people. But you know, the Burgundy, they start to think about
yes.
it, and they say, why not to do like in Bordeaux, to make a Grand Cru, to make things very nice?
Mm-hmm.
And they was do only wine, not cow, not the at this time it was the chèvre, how would you say, goat,
yes.
So only wine. So I want to do like in Burgundy one century ago, to do only cider.
Mm-hmm.
But it take me 15 years sacrifice to become, to have some money and to continue to live with this job.
Wow.
15 years. My wife was working outside because the kids couldn't eat, because I didn't have enough money. So it's the beginning, and
it's scary.
Many people want to visit, to come. They want to learn in 5 minutes that I have built up in 15, 20
right.
years.
Right.
And every week, people ask me to visit, to understand, to learn about what I'm doing.
Mm.
So now I don't have any more energy to reset people, to
receive.
Receive, exactement.
Now you might think that someone who gets invitations to speak from around the world and has to daily turn down multiple requests to visit from international cider seekers, that he would have no problem convincing those that are closest to him that making cider is a good way to go in Normandy.
More difficult people to convince, it was my parents. My bank, it was easier than my parents.
Are they convinced? You know, sometimes you never know.
They're still worried, and I could understand if you're parents. They're still worried because we do the Shea and the new Shea, and it's a lot of...
Yeah, it's a big project. Yeah, yeah.
But they're still worried. I understand why your parents, it's for a long time.
Of course.
It's for all the life. But the bank, I was lucky because the guy used to have some old pear tree. And he understand wine, so he have understood where I had to go. And I was lucky to have this guy, because in this area they don't understood too much about wine company, wine culture.
Right.
But this guy you knew. I have understood 10 years after, but at this time I was lucky. But when I came for the interview to convince this guy to give me some money, I came with two bottles from Quebec, because I know Verger du Minot, it's Robert Demois in Quebec. For me, it's one of the guy who opened me about cider. And when I have been for the harvest to help and just to meet those people. And Robert Demois, he was nice to explain. And when I came to convince the bank, I come with two bottles and I was wine tasting glass. And yes. I said, taste this. And that's exactly, technically, the way I want to go. To have the same serious
intention.
Technically serious in the glass. Ice, the flavor, the control of the bubbles. Mm-hmm. Everything has to control. It take me 15 years because we are lucky in Quebec, they have two varieties or three. Very, very acidic, acid. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to have the decantation. The control is easier. We have 20 varieties of an apple and more sweetness, more bitter apple, and it's very difficult to control the decantation and everything, the fermentation and everything. Mm-hmm. So that's why it took me a long time, very long time. Mm. So for me, in a cellar, it's like a cooker. Mm-hmm. You can have a good produce. If you are not a good cooker, it's rubbish.
Sure.
It's my opinion, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why farmer, it's good, he's making good, nice apple, but after you have to be someone else. Voilà.
If I was traveling in other parts of Normandy or in Paris, where would people go to find Eric Bordelais cider? Are there shops in...
Some, but maybe three or four places in Normandy or in Brittany, the same. No, I don't make effort in France anyway.
Yes.
It's always difficult because they said all the time, it's expensive. All the time, they don't say why, they said it's expensive.
No explanation.
They prefer buy a champagne. The vineyards are maybe 5 years old. You can make champagne in a bottle. With apple trees or pear trees. Apple trees, you need to wait 25 years to become adult. And you for the pear trees, you need to wait 100 years. For traditional tree, So, I explain, always explain to people, that's the reason why it's expensive. Mm. And we do all by hand, the harvest, all by hand.
Yeah,
in France, it costs a lot.
Yes.
Many things like this.
Right.
But
right.
Now I don't have to justify myself. I'm fed up to justify myself all the time. I'm doing 80% of exportation. That's why I wanted to become different. I didn't expect too much.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there is exportation. I couldn't live. I couldn't do a professional job.
Right.
Because now I have the money to buy new material and very precise material and clean, you know.
Yeah.
No, I was very lucky to meet Didier because Didier knew many people and respect this guy because he knew he's very professional. So to introduce by this guy was for me very interesting.
Yeah.
That was the only chance for cider. And some journalists as well.
Yeah, having that wider view of the territory, not just in Normandy, but obviously Didier was like imagining the world economy, really, and what... It's kind of like you're never a hero in your own backyard.
Of course.
You know, it's...
Prophète, we said, no? Prophète dans son pays.
Yes.
Like a prophet. Yeah. But I don't care. I like to go... To speak in the Scottish.
Scottish. Yes, yeah. A lot of opportunity out in the world right now for cider.
With Andreas and Jacques, we would like to build up a band, a world band about cider, about people who are special, unique. But it would take a long time. But it's the only way to show that cider could be different. Could be like a big wine.
When you say you're looking at a band of, is that what the word, a band of cider makers, kind of...
Philosophy, special mentality, philosophy. Mm-hmm. Different job, different profession. Like in France it's compagnon. I don't know if you know,
compagnon.
But carpenter, the mason, I don't know.
Mason. Carpenter.
Sure. Different. In
trade.
The past, they have. They have to respect professionally. So the philosophy, the human being, the mentality, you know. And it could be something like this. To have the professional to take care to the fruit, take care to the trees, to, you know.
Are you not seeing that? Because I'm seeing that. I feel like there is a certain respect that is going towards the profession, if you want, you know, of this making cider. And
you know why I said that? Because in wine, Didier created a band 20 years, 25 years ago. I was a sommelier, but now I am in the band, but a band with them. One guy from Alsace, one guy from Côte du Rhône, one guy in Burgundy, but guys with the same philosophy, the same mentality, the same quality, the same the best professional in our place. And it should be nice to create the same, but in different states. And I think that's the only way. If the band can travel and give the testing, but not a big band, maybe 20, 30, if they have a testing, but testing of very, with a, comment dire, un point commun, a common point.
A common point, yes.
Quality, technically the same, not the same, but serious, comment dire, control the quality, the technique. You could have a better, comment dire, you could compare the terroir and not say the, I'll explain. If the wine are not serious to the cellar, not good hygiene, you have sometimes a bacteria all here, the bad yeast. That's happened. It's a long time to control.
True,
if there is a defect, it's not good, you know? Someone has to be regular. If he's professional, he has a cider regular, and he can show the terroir of his place. That to show the terroir in your cider, you have to be clean everywhere to have technically to have a good success technically. That takes you 15 years. When you have this, after you can take care to the terroir because there is no bad yeast, bad flavor, bad aroma of yeast or bacteria, volatile. If you have volatile or bad yeast, you can catch the terroir. You can taste the terroir because
the terroir.
If there is too much yeast, you can catch the special
uniqueness to that region. Well, what's happening with cider is that a lot of Shay are importing juice from other locations, even from around the world, bringing it in. So we have all these different cider models. The good part of it is that it's letting the consumer know there's cider, because people just thought it was sweet juice to give to your children, like a little baby or something. And so it's getting people educated that there's actually cider. So, I mean, it begins there. In the world, as I see, it's kind of like the seesaw, right? And it's been kind of going up, and it has to then kind of level off. So the cider's going up, 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 and all these new innovations. And I was talking to Agathe yesterday, you know, they put coffee in cider, putting raspberries.
Rosé, cidre rosé. Industrial make the cidre rosé with, it's a special liqueur, enfin, special colorant. I forgot.
Not a cologne as we know, but yes, a flavoring.
But natural, but
natural,
still,
okay. Juice.
I hate mix. There is one who is, he has been to the TV. He's makes chestnut with cider in Brittany.
He's
just become famous because he makes chestnut with cider, but I think it's not pure. I think it's stupid, it's not good. For me, it's. I said, when people come to visit, I said, take care around in your area what kind of old tree you have and what kind of wild tree you have. And if you have, because if naturally the the seeds grow up here. He has a personality. He has
the tree,
but from the area.
Right.
And I think everyone has to develop the variety from his area. Mm-hmm. It's Switzerland, in Germany. And I think many people ask me for some variety, but I said it would be stupid to have the same variety in different area, because it's like Cabernet Sauvignon here in Australia or in France. I think it's not good for the, everyone has to develop his own ecosystem, you understand? Ecosystem, his own vegetal material.
But you could do that because you are in...
Of course, it's easy for me.
They're making cider in Texas.
Even we.
You know.
Two young people came 1 year ago, they want to make cider in Arizona. Okay, but... So that's why I said it must have a band with a... I can't say premier grand cru or first class,
right.
It's stupid to say that, but with some rules,
protocol,
special rules, voilà,
right. Yeah.
Special mentality and practice.
Parameters, yes.
To have a high level of cider. It's pretentious to say that, but I'm just see how the wine has evolved.
Yeah. I think that's definitely a natural next step for cider. Right now, it's like everybody's like jumping into the pool.
It's everywhere.
It's like the pool is open and everybody's jumping in and the water's going like this out of the pool.
Exactement.
And again, there's benefits to that, but it's going to...
Utopic. Maybe I speak like an old man, and I think I speak like an old man with utopia.
Mm. No.
But it makes sense to me.
No, I don't think
it makes sense because Andreas, even in Frankfurt, asked me some variety. I said, but... You have variety around here in a wood, in a ages. You take care here, because I have do the same mistake to the beginning when I plant 25 varieties. Five varieties are stupid. They are not adapted in my area.
I see.
They are variety from Brittany, but 200-300 kilometers away from my place. But they are not adapted because they have the disease, the tavelure, and you need chemical produce to make it work.
Right.
So it's stupid because I wanted to doesn't use any more chemical produce, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So many varieties are adapted, but in the area, the origin area, I don't know. And aging cider. That's why
aging
I like
cider,
the Argerette. It's too aging.
Right.
Like wine.
Right.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So I think it's going to... It's difficult to see it going all different directions, but at the same time, you have to pick out the good that's happening in all of it. The fact that...
That's your mission.
Well, it is. It is. It's who I am, too. So I believe in that because I know that the apple or the pear is bigger than all of us. You know, there's more apples and pears in the world maybe than there are people that are just kind of going for less than. And I think some of those new cider makers doing the best they can with the fruit that they have.
Oui.
You know, we don't have, but you know, you have hundreds of year old trees, and that's, there's nothing that could compare to that. I mean, that starting out, if you were starting out now, that would be a very different situation. So I think we have to stay steady. And then also what you're saying, like, sure, why, it could all happen at once. You know, go for that other level. I think there are people are very ready for that and want that. And the best part of all these like new cideries coming up is that we're getting cider geeks, you know, at the same level that wine has. We didn't see that 10 years ago.
That concludes part one with Eric Bordelais. There'll be a short intermission of 1 week when we return with Eric in episode 58. Now I'd like to encourage you, Ciderville, to do a bit of pondering like myself in the meantime between now and next week. To show the terroir of a cider. To be clean technically. Where are you in that landscape? And where would you like to see cider in 5, 10, 15, or 20 years? I think there's a lot to chew on, so to speak. And to Eric Bordelais, merci beaucoup. I look forward to next week when we grab a glass and continue our chat. I'd like to give a shout out to Current Cider of Perksey, Pennsylvania, Big Apple Hard Cider of New York City, and Oliver's Cider and Perry in Hertfordshire in the United Kingdom for participating in Cider Chat's Cider Going Up campaign. Next time, when you're out and about and looking for a cider, ask for any of these three ciders. By supporting them, you also support Cider Chat. And if you're a commercial cider maker who would like to join in on the Cider Going Up campaign, please just go to the Cider Chat Patreon page. You can find it at ciderchat.com. Well, Ciderville, it's been a long lunch. What we had for 3 hours got a little bit honed down, but I think you got the bulk of it. And I look so forward to next week, where we're going to be taking a bit of a walk around the property where Eric does the magic of transforming apples and pears into the most delectable and delightful libations. I'm going to be signing off now and rolling on out of here. So take care and make sure to keep pondering all that was said this week on this chat. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. I look forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!